So as some of you all know, I love to share pictures of my son Wyatt on Facebook. So I have a 2-year-old, and so like many parents, I seem to take endless pictures of him and videos. And so a lot of those end up making it to Facebook because I just can't help but show him off. So usually the photos that I would share of him on Facebook look something like this. You see, this is really cute. He's got his 2 favorite stuffed animals. This is from when he was just a little bit over a year old. So you can see we got a little smile going on. He's nice and contained in the crib. He's sitting still even though I'm taking a picture yet again. Like, it checks all the boxes and it's golden. But these cute pictures that I often choose to share, as many of you all know, they don't reflect the full reality of toddlerhood, not even by a long shot. And this is something you know, whether you have a toddler at home right now, whether you have raised a toddler, or if you've even just been around one. You know that toddlerhood seems to be defined by impatience. Defined by these tantrums of not getting what they want right now, and being too little to understand why. Define like images like this, or even like this. These impatient outbursts of having to sit still in the pack and play for even just a moment, for having not being able to play with grown-up things like scissors, not quite yet, of having to wait until after dinner to get another cookie. This is really the real part of toddlerhood that we, as parents, don't often share on social media. And so a lot of times we like to think this age and stage of tantrums and impatience is something that we leave behind when we grow up, or at least we think so. We think that we grow out of this eventually. That because we grow up and we understand what scissors are and how to use them safely, when we grow up and we value there is time to be still sometimes, we grow up and we understand that there is value of eating fruits and vegetables instead of cookies all the time. We think because we grow up and we know these things, that means we leave this battle with impatience behind. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that that is not the case. I imagine for many of you today, when you saw that we were going through the fruits of the Spirit, you were really intrigued by this particular sermon topic. You may have saw patience and thought, wow, I'm really looking forward to that sermon because I could use some more of that. As David said, here on staff, we have a staff covenant that we go through every time we meet together as a staff. And yes, it is true that the number one thing it seems like people seem to bring up is working on patience. Even though we all work at a church, even though we all know the fruits of the Spirit, even though we all love and appreciate each other as a staff, we also struggle with being patient with one another. And so I imagine that idea of patience, just like it's a struggle for our staff, is probably a struggle in your life too. But we know that patience is something that we should strive for as Christians. Just look at this theme verse we have for this sermon series, and patience is included on the list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. And so when we look at these verses, we can then be reminded of the times when we were impatient. When we yelled at somebody in traffic. When we were short with our spouse or even our kids. When we were harsh with someone at work. Or maybe even when we weren't as understanding as we should be with a server at a restaurant. And we can think of all those scenarios and know that those impatient reactions are not Christ-like. It's not the right thing to do, and it's not the right way to live. I love that Ecclesiastes 7 puts it very, very plainly. Patience is better than arrogance. And yet, even though that is such a simple and short verse that we know is true, the struggle with patience is so hard. It's not something that comes easily, although we want it to, right? And although I have no easy reach perfection quick answers for you this morning, I do have some good news. When we look at Scripture, it turns out that we are in good company with this internal struggle of learning to be patient. Our scripture passage this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and so I'm going to zoom out a little bit and give more verses than what is listed in the bulletin this morning. I'll be reading Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 28 from the Common English Bible. I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared with the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was the choice of the one who subjected it, but in the hope that creation itself will be set free from the slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole of creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now. And it's not only the creation. We ourselves who have a spirit as the first crop of the harvest also groan inside as we wait to be adopted and for our bodies to be set free. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope. Who hopes for what they already see? And then this is our key verse for today. But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help us in our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit Himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for the good for the ones who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. So our scripture passage today, the book of Romans, is a letter written by the apostle Paul to Christians in Rome. And so in our particular passage today, Paul is addressing that often asked and often wondered question of when Jesus would be coming back. The Christians then, much like us today, they looked around and they saw the pain and the struggles and the brokenness of our world, the imperfectness of this life, and they desperately wanted something better. They were anticipating the kingdom of God, which was going to put everything back right, where they wouldn't have to face the pain and the stress of day-to-day life anymore, where neighbor would love neighbor, nobody was going to go hungry, no one would start wars anymore. The kingdom of God that they were waiting for, it was a vision of how life should be, how we desperately wish life would be, and they were waiting impatiently for it. So Paul shows him that he understands that, in fact, all of creation is groaning right alongside them in this great pain, waiting for redemption to come. But even though he acknowledges their anticipation, even though Paul understands their impatience, even with all that, he still charges them to have patience. In verse 25, he says, if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. Paul is telling them that although he completely understands this struggle, he understands where they are coming from, impatience is not the answer. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit that Christians should have. Patience is the thing that we should all be striving for. that no matter how justified or even righteous or understandable impatience may seem, Christ still calls us to a better way. Christ calls us to patience. So you may be wondering, how did Paul actually expect them to live out this patient waiting? I mean, when we read through this scripture passage today, it seems like Paul just peppers in a reminder to be patient, like it is the easiest thing in the world to do, and then just goes on writing his letter. And so when we look at it today, we wonder, well, geez, thanks, Paul, just telling me to be patient, making me feel bad about it. Well, that's not really helping, is it? But this is one of those instances where in the Greek, what Paul is really trying to say doesn't get fully translated to us in English. I read a commentary on this passage this week by Sarah Lancaster. And so in her commentary, Sarah says this about the word patience used in this verse. Patience does not mean simply waiting without irritation or complaint. The word really suggests endurance, steadfastness, and perseverance. The word means more than just the attitude we adopt while waiting. It opens the possibility for thinking about the time of waiting as a time of activity, not passivity. The time of waiting as a time of activity, not passivity. This struck me as so interesting that patience isn't about waiting without complaint. It isn't just about being quiet and passive. Patience is about persevering and doing something positive in the waiting. In this particular passage, Paul is encouraging the Roman Christians to pray, to seek God, and to do good works in the midst of their waiting. Not to just have their eyes so focused on the coming kingdom that they sit around and wait for it, but to be active participants. To do something positive in the name of Christ in the meantime, even if it's praying. Paul reminds us all of this in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help us in our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. Patience isn't just about the absence of yelling or grumbling or complaining in the waiting. It's doing something positive in the waiting. So it isn't just about not yelling at others in traffic, but it's about redirecting that energy and seeing how we might have compassionate imagination and think that that person that cut us off in traffic, they maybe, just maybe, might be having a bad day. It's not just about not being short with your kids or your coworkers or even your spouse. It's about redirecting that energy to have life-giving, affirming, and Christ-like ways to interact with those closest to you. It's not just about being nice and patient when the service is slow at a restaurant, but it's about having the compassion to be kind and realizing that the entire world is short-staffed right now. So the least that we can do is be the light of Christ to others in this very difficult season. So you may be wondering, how does this practically translate to today? How does real Christ-like patience actually play out in our lives today? Well, before I came to be your pastor here, I was the director of small groups at Hyde Park United Methodist in Tampa. And so at Hyde Park, when I first stepped into that role, we had one young adult small group. And so that young adult group had been around for years. And it turned out that the time of the week and the format, it just wasn't working anymore. Attendance kept going down and down until eventually the leaders reached out to me and said, "Nikki, we need to stop. We need to take a break. This isn't working anymore, and we're all getting burnt out." And so as the leader of that ministry, I had to let that small group go. And so let me tell you, the temptation and the pressure in that moment to be impatient was so strong. I felt so guilty that if I didn't do something and do something fast, we weren't going to have a young adult small group ministry at Hyde Park, and it was going to be all my fault. I was impatient and wanted to fix it right then, to recruit a leader, set a new day and time, and just go off to the races. But I knew that that wasn't the answer. That impatience wasn't what Christ was calling me to do in that moment. That fix it quick was not the ministry that Christ was calling to me to do in that instance. But acting with patience, waiting on the Spirit to move, now that was. To use that time of waiting to do something positive. To pray, to reflect, to seek God's guidance, to ask God to call a new leader with a new vision and a format that would work. That was what God was calling me to do in that moment. And so that's what I did. And that's not what anyone expected me to do. But the church supported me and joined me in that time of prayer and discernment. And even though we had to wait months, finally the answer came. A young couple approached one of our pastors looking to start a new young adults group on a different night of the week with some new and fresh ideas on how they might engage others and grow in Christ together. And so when this group finally came to fruition, we saw right off the bat that our patience and prayer worked. That group was significantly larger from the bat than the other group had been in years. From the very first meeting, this group brought back young adults who had not attended that church in years. From the very first meeting, it brought in young adults who, at least at that point, hadn't ended up on the church's rolls anywhere. And even throughout all the twists and turns of the pandemic, that group is still meeting and growing and following Christ today together. So in that situation, Christ-like patience did not mean rushing to fix it quick. But Christ-like patience also didn't mean sitting on my hands and doing nothing. Christ-like patience meant waiting while praying faithfully in the waiting. Waiting while taking that positive and active posture of prayer in the waiting. I can only stand up and tell that story today with God's help. I am not a perfect person, and waiting instead of doing in that season was far from easy, believe me. But it taught me what Christ-like patience looks like. It taught me what an active faith in the waiting can look like. So I don't know where you need to grow in Christ-like patience this morning. I do not know if you need patience with your coworkers or with your customers. Maybe it's with your students. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with impatient strangers that you encounter out in the world. Or maybe it's even with yourself. But what I do know is that, as Paul reminds us, the Spirit of God is there for us. That God gives us the strength to grow in patience even when we can't put the prayers asking for it into words. That God understands how hard that struggle of patience is for us. And God is faithful to walk alongside us in that struggle. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul this morning. May we remember that we are not alone in our struggle with impatience. But God, may we also be charged to grow in our patience this day. May we be empowered to take that energy of impatience and funnel it into positive actions in our waiting. Amen. As we prepare to go from this place, hear the benediction. As you go throughout this week, may you go growing in patience just a little bit more than you were last week. Whether that's with yourself, with your family, with a stranger. May you see that growth of patience through the work of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.